Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Pompito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports bylaw studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion. At one point in time, was nationally ranked as an amateur boxer here in the continental United States. And get this, I won some awards for my boxing writing. So supposedly, I got it all covered. I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out the average fan knows more than me. So I will open up the toll-free listener line at the top of each hour just for you. You want to win part? You can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio? That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? Jose Zepeda won last night in crushing fashion. We'll talk about that in depth, of course. And there's a new WBA champ at 147 pounds. Wait a second. How many champs are there of the WBA at 147 pounds? Well, guess what? We'll have the WBA attorney on the show next week, Mark Rizmo. But in this week, we'll talk about the WBA. And, of course, Virgil Ortiz is going to take on Errol Spence. Man, I'm licking my chops. I can't wait. I can't wait for that young Latino to get that Errol Spence in the ring. Errol Spence, of course, got tossed out of a car at 120 miles an hour. He ain't the same. He never will be. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Raleigh Romero, a rapist. We'll talk about that after the break. You're tuned to Ring Talk, WBC TV.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near Pompito's full steam ahead.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Little story behind that Don King quip there. I goes gangster slapping people in the Times Square gym in the 1989 WBC convention, I think, in New York City. And I had been retired for a year, and I was still gangster slapping people. Bottom line is, Don saw it. Don said to me, "You want to fight again?" I said, "You out of your mind." You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, the hot news coming out of Las Vegas, actually New York, Showtime Championship Boxing, Stephen Espinoza talking about allegations against Raleigh Romero, who's set, of course, to fight Gervonta Davis December the 5th on Showtime pay-per-view and a lightweight title bout. But the bottom line is Raleigh Romero has some accusations levied against him. So we go to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber, Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, for the actual news of verbiage. What's happening with Raleigh Romero, Sock?
Hey, Pedro. Well, as first was reported by, I believe, Mike Coppinger of ESPN, a 24-year-old woman from Henderson, Nevada, which is, I believe, where Raleigh Romero's home is accusing him of sexual assault. Piggyback, there were rumors that there were eight other women that were ready to come out as well. But as far as I know, and the report said that this 24-year-old actually went to the police. Right away, Showtime's reaction, as per Espinoza, that they are investigating it. But everyone seems to think that it's just a matter of days before they pull Romero out completely. And that's where we're at. And then there's a whole bunch of fighters on the internet raising their hands, saying that they want the opportunity.
No, 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 no. Don't pull them. This makes for some intrigue. Keep them in the fight. He hasn't been convicted of a crime yet. You know what I'm saying? He has not.
Absolutely.
He hasn't been convicted of a crime yet. So you keep them in the fight. There's all this interest. And then these women picket the fight. They boycott it. They put up picket lines, the whole nine yards. I love it. Let's go back to the 80s all over again.
Hey, listen, I was not the best history student, but I do believe that there's something that says you are innocent until proven guilty. And let the young man, let him have his day in court and let him fight. You know, I'm a parent of a daughter. Women are sacred to me. Like, they should, you know, all over the world like they should be. But these are just allegations. And let's keep it real, Pedro. When has boxing ever really been sensitive to women? I mean, Mike Tyson is a notorious former batterer. Floyd Mayweather has given his baby mama some uppercuts. I mean, and the list goes on and on. And these guys keep, you know, obviously getting paydays and selling out arenas. Let Romero have his day in court and let him fight.
Well, I'm going to do my best Chuck Willery impression right here. Well, thanks a lot, Sock, because later on the show, we'll hear from Mike Tyson and Robin Gibbons right here on my show.
Back in 2 and 2.
Yeah, well, I was trying to pre-sell something. In hour number 2, we're going to go with Robin Gibbons, Mike Tyson, of course, and Jim Carrey and one of the Wayans brothers and some chick, and bottom line is they're all doing a parody on Mike Tyson and Robin Gibbons, of course. Robin Gibbons, did I ever tell you her attorney sent me a letter?
No, you didn't.
He sent me a letter. Get this. He sent me a letter because I was misspelling her name on purpose. I was calling her R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe.
Oh, okay.
And her lawyer sent me a letter.
Wow.
I was
a cease
like,
and desist?
What? A cease and desist letter. I mean, I was doing this in Flash magazine. This was back, I don't even think we were doing it on the internet yet. I think we were still in Flash magazine. I believe. And yeah, she sent me a long letter. Bottom line is they took offense at the fact that I was calling her robbing instead of Robin.
Hmm. Ouch.
Because she was robbing.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, talking about any chick that shows up to her first date with three accountants and her mother, she's looking, come on, that's a money digger. Anyway, how's Sebastian doing there?
He's doing good. He's teething, so, you know, he's pretty much, he's chewing on his pacifier.
Okay. Yeah, we hear the Tower of Power theme music there in the background here. But listen, Sock, I want to wish you the best. Thank you for filling us up to date here on this, Gervonta Davis, Raleigh Romero fight. I'm pulling for Raleigh Romero. Listen, Raleigh's a weird dude. But everybody's weird to an extent. And there's not a crime against being weird. Okay? There's a crime against assaulting women, but there's not a crime against being weird, because if there was a crime against being weird, the guy in the other room and me would both be in prison.
Yeah, he's a little eccentric. He comes off a little slow. For his sake, and the, you know, I hope that the allegations are not true. However, if they are true.
Eight women?
Yeah, bro. When there's smoke, there's fire. But
I mean, come on, man. That sounds like a forest fire.
Yeah, and you know what? The last thing I actually just read, the leading candidate to replace him is Isaac Pitbull Cruz, who's really a junior lightweight, but he's a little bit, he's more seasoned than Romero. I mean, let's face it. Most people think Romero is in way over his head, and Showtime's probably going to lose their shirt on this pay-per-view. So.
I think Raleigh Romero is the baddest, the most well-dressed dude in the 135-pound division. Anybody that can show up for a press conference in Las Vegas is like 95 degrees and wear a fur coat, you got to have some audacity.
Yeah. He's surely not short on stones.
Anyway, go back to Sebastian. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my brother.
The great Socrates Palmer. Now let's go to the weekend review. Of course, some big fights happening. We had the women's bout for the WBC title. We'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, that was a big event down there in Mexico. Wow. Jaron Ennis. Wow. What can I say about him other than he's from the city of brotherly love and he can fight? Of course, still undefeated now. Knocked out Thomas Dwarlamy last night in one round. What can I say? Blank. It's over. Lenny, the Animal Albert, thinks that Ennis is the real deal. I think Ennis still got a lot of proving to do. I think the real deal is Virgil Ortiz. And of course, Virgil Ortiz is probably going to hook up with Errol Spence next. You know, Errol Spence, that guy that should be dead. The guy, I mean, come on. You flip out of a car at 115 miles an hour and you live? And you're going to try to tell me that you're going to be okay enough to box? I ain't going for that. I'm betting against Errol Spence. I'm betting against Errol Spence. I'll probably put up $200-$300. See who wants to bet Errol Spence? Come to me. We'll bet a couple hundred bucks on that one straight up. I really think that, Virgil's got a great chance of winning. But the Zepeda fight last night, holy cow. I mean, Jose Zepeda, Joshua comes from the Bronx, one of the Bronx Bombers, and that was Socrates' main guy, no doubt about that, Joshua Vargas. But man, did he get lit up? I mean, holy cow. And then somebody tried to tell me that Zepeda got lucky. How could Zepeda get lucky when he's 34-2? I mean, even 34-2, if he fought 34 bums like me, you know, he'd still have maybe a couple of losses on his record. But the bottom line is 34-2, good knockout puncher, but not an overly exciting fighter. Not a guy that's going to sell tickets, none of that kind of good stuff, okay? He's just a damn good fighter. Well, a damn good fighter prevailed last night. It was a wild first round. Ups, downs, was like an Otis elevator commercial. Ups, downs, you name it. It was a bit funny, but at the end, Jose Zepeda won a very, very exciting first round knockout. Outside of that, as I said, Jamal James got stopped by Rasbad Budaev. And of course, yesterday, Socrates Palmer said, and he was being facetious. I said to him, so what about Jamal James? He goes, who? Who? Exactly. Cause, you know, he didn't think too much of him. Last night, he got lit up inside the distance for the WBA title. Now, the WBA title, how many WBA champions are there? This is why the Association of Boxing Commissions got all up their keister. Because of the fact they've got like 19 champions in each weight class. And they've got interim champions and vacant champions and regular champions and super champions, all that kind of good stuff. Now, I'm not trying to say my sponsor, the WBC, doesn't proliferate title belts to an extent too. Okay. But not like the world of bunko and anarchy that I call the WBA. Of course, speaking of WBA, to show you that I give them equal press, next week we will have the WBA attorney on the show, Mark Risman, of course, out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He's the WBA lead attorney, and he's been my partner. He's been my attorney, got me out of trouble a couple of times. I'm willing to admit it, got me out of trouble a couple of times. Not in criminal trouble, but it's trouble me and my big mouth. But he got me out of trouble a couple of times. He's a class act. We'll have him next week because he's a wonderful guy. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Outside of that, you know, it was a women's bout last night. Chantel Cameron was the winner. She beat Mary McGee. And Archie Sharp won on Friday night. And he beat Alex Kabor. But the highlight of the last couple of weeks, no doubt in my mind, was Shakur Stevenson and that gangster slapping of Jamal Herring. He should be arrested for domestic violence. You got to go. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, you know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? One, two, three, four.
From the Godfather of Soul, the retired HBO Godfather himself, I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant. Larry, and how are you in the Godmama this morning, sir?
Well, we're looking out at what we used to call June swoon is now October swoon, which is everything is under the clouds.
Oh, well, you know, you never lived in San Francisco. We live in fog like probably 2-3 quarters of the year. No doubt about
that.
Well,
I'm not moving to San Francisco then.
Well, obviously, you know, but it beats Philadelphia and Brooklyn.
I love San Francisco.
Okay, good one. Larry, we are 6 days away, from, of course, from the boxing's pound-for-pound king, Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Saul Alvarez, that's his official name. Once beaten fighter, lost that decision when he was green as guacamole to Floyd Mayweather back in the day, like seems like a decade ago, probably. Anyway, bottom line, he's taking on undefeated Caleb Plant, an American with a title belt. What does Caleb bring to the dance besides the belt?
Would you repeat that?
I said, what does Caleb Plant bring to the dance with Canelo Alvarez besides his belt?
He's a pretty good-looking fighter.
Okay.
And I think it's obvious why Canelo picked him out, because the Brits love boxing the way people in the U.S. used to love boxing. And they're going to buy a lot of pay-per-views and make a lot of money. But at the same time, it's a, you know, he can't relax. It's not an easy opponent. It may not be the toughest, but you got to be on his game.
You know, back in the day, Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis screwed around, and they didn't have a fight they were supposed to have. I remember Lennox Lewis wanted to do something and ended up being knocked out by Oliver McCall, and then Riddick Bowe threw his title belt in the trash can in London, some publicity stunt put on by his manager, Rock Newman. Now, we had Anthony Joshua, who was in line to fight Tyson Fury for, like, all the money that you can put in an armored car, probably, and more. And then he says, well, you know, I got the Sky Sports contract still. I got one fight left on. I want to get rid of it before I go to fight Tyson Fury for the big money. So I'm going to fight Oleg Usyk. And he gets beat. So his value just, like, goes down the drain. So what I'm trying to say is these guys don't bite at the apple when the apple's there, Larry. And now the apple's gone as far as Joshua and Fury's concerned.
Well, he saw a bigger apple down the road, a monstrous apple. So that was a calculation. That went wrong, but a legitimate calculation.
Okay. I couldn't find about that. Now, Anthony Joshua, he's talking about he wanted to go to Eddie Reynoso, he wanted to go to different trainers, this and that. I'm of the opinion you can't make, I'll say this right, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit. So I'm not trying to say he's chicken spit. What I'm trying to say is, I don't think another trainer is really going to be the answer for a guy like Anthony Joshua. You think there would be some improvement, or that's a good move for him?
Well, psychologically, it may mean something to have a different pair of eyes and a different head to observe and try to treat the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, I don't know enough about the trainers, but it's not the first time that a fighter has fired a trainer and after a major loss. And to see if what happened in the loss was who he is, or were there still parts of him that could be better.
Okay. Raleigh Romero is supposed to take on Gervonta Davis. Raleigh Romero is an undefeated lad fighting out of Las Vegas for Al Haymon and his crew. I think Floyd Mayweather is his manager. But he's undefeated, and he's supposed to take on Gervonta Davis December 5th on Showtime pay-per-view. But now these women have come forward, several women have come forward and accused him of sexual assault. Unless he's convicted of a crime, should he be removed from that fight?
Well, I don't know any of the particulars. I don't know how far it's gone in the legal system.
My question for you is, would criminal charges be enough to pull him out of the fight, to remove him from the fight?
Probably.
Okay. All right. So I guess I can't remember the word that's used when you're supposed to act really perfect within a contract. But the bottom line, I guess there's some contingency in his law, in his contract. If he's a bad character, they can cancel it. Is that what you see what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah. Look, if they think it will affect the gate, that people will be turned off, then they have that right. You know, in a lot of contracts, in the small print, it says in case of war, this could happen. In case of a typhoon, that could happen. So I don't know how their contracts read, but I think they ought to pull back and give it time to crystallize.
Looks like Dillian Whyte could be the next challenger for Tyson Fury, the world linear heavyweight champion. Of course, 31-0-1. The three fights with Deontay Wilder now in the rearview mirror, a draw and two wins inside the distance. Tyson Fury, Dillian Whyte. I don't know what's up with Dillian Whyte, but Barry Hearn has tried his hardest to get this guy a title fight no matter what. It's sort of like maybe he's got dirty pictures of Barry Hearn or something like that. I don't get it, but is Dillian Whyte something I should be excited about?
Probably not, but, you know, Joe Louis famously fought the bums of the month between the big fights. And sometimes if a big fight doesn't make any sense, then you go down a level and just stay active and in front of people and make a high percentage of the money.
You know, speaking of Joe Louis, when I last saw him, of course, he was the Ollie Holmes debacle in, of course, October 1980. But in 1951, before he fought Marciano, got stopped in the eighth round, he went through seven guys. And so I was looking at the records. Okay, guys, was there anything left to Joe Louis, or was he just fortunate that the opposition was correct there with those seven guys?
Look, he could be every man on the planet except Marciano at that stage of his career.
Wow. Okay. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to hear from you. He can beat every man on the planet outside of Marciano. Now, of course, Ryan Garcia's broken his hand. He's had some issues. The guy's had a rough year, no doubt about that. Rolly Romero roughed him up in the gym. Back to Rolly Romero, of course. Now, as far as the heavyweight division is concerned, Joshua and Fury remove those two guys. We really don't have any Americans knocking on the door, do we?
I haven't seen one. Have you?
No. I mean, I think the door's been slammed shut on Deontay Wilder. You think so?
It's up to him. If he really wants to be a fighter, if he really wants to make more money, then he can find some heavyweights to beat and show his stuff, and then fight one of the elite guys, if that's his goal. If he just wants to look in the mirror and how beautiful he looks, then that's another matter.
No doubt about that. The WBA has got the Cuban, of course, that beat Manny Pacquiao. I think they're a little upset that he beat Manny Pacquiao. They're putting him, making him jump through unusual hoops. It's just another more sanctioning body mishaps, and I'm a little upset with that. And of course, I've got a sanctioning body sponsor that I'm not afraid to criticize if need be. But the bottom line is the WBA, of course, they were in the crosshairs of the Association of Boxing Commissions for all their championships, this and that. Do you think those people will ever, like, resemble a proper business?
Boxing was not designed to be a proper business from the first fight to now. I mean, it's individual athletes, it's their promoters, it's the opportunities, all mixed up. So it's not a proper business.
Okay. Good point. And there's a bunch of subcontractors. Godfather, you and the Godmama have a good week. Give her my regards, without a doubt. And what are you doing this week?
I'm going to stay out of the gym where I work out once or twice a week, just to do more walking. I've been having more success at getting around and going up and down hills and such.
Well, that's wonderful. Kiss the God Mama. We'll talk soon, sir.
Happy Halloween.
The greatest, Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. When I hold you in my arms, I know that I-
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
They were hooking it up at Friday's weigh-in. I'm talking about the super lightweight from Mexico, Jose Achon Zepeda, now 35-2, 27 wax. Needed a minute and 45 seconds to get revenge on Brooklyn's Joshua the Prodigy Vargas. Not so much the Prodigy per se. 19-2, 9 kills. Of course, they shoved each other at the weigh-in on Friday and, of course, went back and forth. And the bottom line was, man, you know, I mean, from the first punch on, it was like left-hander. It looked like a battle of left-handers. It happened so fast, you couldn't figure out what was going on. But the bottom line is, Zepeda can fight. I know Hector doesn't like his style, but there's no doubt about it. He can fight. I mean, he can fight, no doubt about that. And, of course, Josh Vargas needs to go back to the dressing room. But he took on a guy that had, you know, he's like, he comes in with 21 fights. I think he's got 37 fights. That's almost double the experience. And of course, he had a few years on him, but age doesn't always matter. Unbeaten contender. I didn't even know this guy existed. Razabat Budaev, now 14-0, 11 KOs, won a ninth round TKO over WBA regular welterweight champion. Remember I told you WBA's got super champions. They got Cuddy the champ. They got Cuddy's a champion. I'm a champion. This guy was a champion. What's his name? Jamal James. He was a champion. Shango, they named. Well, Shango, you got lit up. Bottom line is Shango now 28-2, 12 KOs. Got stopped in the ninth round. Dethroned from the WBA regular welterweight championship. Of course, isn't Virgil Ortiz the WBA champ? I'm confused. I have to look that one up. Anyway, bottom line is, Budaev was a good fighter. You know that about the time was 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Celestino Ruiz, of course, out of Chicago. I don't know where he's living now, but he was originally out of Chicago. My Puerto Rican buddy referee there, he stopped the fight at 2 minutes and 12 seconds of the ninth round. Outside of the rest of the results for the weekend, you know, we'll go into the fact that, you know, women were like center stage in a couple of different venues last night, one in Mexico and I think one here in the United States. In female boxing, listen, if female boxing delivers, I'm with it. Speaking of delivering, I want to give her some props. Clarissa Shields, I get on her case all the time. I think she's got a big mouth. I think the only thing she's really done good was, you know, going after Jake Paul, because I think she can beat Jake Paul. But she got beat in a split decision on an MMA fight last week. So, you know, I think, listen, she's got stones. Intestinal fortitude. I mean, you can say whatever you want about her. She's a big mouth. She can be, she's racist, maybe. You can say whatever you want to say about her, okay? She's got stones. I mean, she's fighting MMA fights. She won the first one. I think she lost the second one. She was like 2-1 or something like that. But the bottom line is, she never did the MMA thing before. But she said, you know what, I'm going to try the MMA thing because I've mastered boxing. And she maybe has mastered boxing by winning titles, but she hasn't captivated me. She needs to do something. I mean, as far as consider me the average boxing fan. When I look at Clarissa Shields, I say, you know, I want to see some zap, some punch. I want to see some punch, but she wants to box too much. I think the girls want to box too much. I think if people, myself, not always. I mean, I appreciate the purists. I love Pernell Whitaker. I thought Pernell Whitaker schooled Julio Cesar Chavez back in 1995. I think it was 95 when they battled in the Alamo Dome for like 12 rounds and they called it a draw afterwards because that was a fight when I bet Jack Tatum, the late number 32 Hall of Famer of the Oakland Raiders, NFL Hall of Famer, I bet Chavez and he bet Whitaker. And after the 10th round, I just went over and gave him the money. It was like $50. I just went over and gave Jack the money. Because, you know, I mean, cause Chavez was so far, he didn't win by like maybe one or two rounds. Whitaker was pitching like almost a shutout. He was painting him like he was a picket fence, a brown picket fence. All right. It went to a draw. They called it a draw. I was like, so, you know, me having the audacity, the chutzpah that I have, I went back over to Jack and said, give him my money back. You what? I said, it's a draw, Jack. I said, just like the point spread, point and a half, it went 2 points. I got to win or I got to lose. Bottom line is this was a draw. So he gave me the money back. We laughed about it. I don't think we ever bet again. I got to see him a few times before he ended up passing away from diabetes. He was a guy that had some sugar levels. So bottom line is Jack Tatum was the most awesome man outside of football, the nicest guy you're ever going to come in contact with. But on that field, he was a stone-cold killer. The hardest hitter, maybe pound for pound, or one of them, him and Ronnie Lott, number 42 of the SF 49ers. But Jack Tatum, when he hit Daryl Stingley, he snapped his spine. That's how hard he hit him. I mean, that's how hard he hit him. But straight up, Jack Tatum was a great guy, no doubt about that. I miss Jack. I'm sorry to go into a Jack Tatum story there. Anyway, 118-pounder, John Sultan, won a 10-round decision over previous unbeaten Carlos Caballero. I thought Caballero looked really good last night. I'm watching this fight. I'm saying to myself, you know, he's 14-0, 14 KOs, but he was getting knocked down. Got knocked down a few times. Bottom line is, it was a competitive fight. Scores were 94-93. Times three for Sultan at the end. It was a pretty good fight. And, you know, these are fights that are happening with developing fighters. I mean, these guys aren't at the upper echelon of boxing yet, but they're exciting. They're well matched. This is a good match. You got to have a well match. Well, matchmaking is everything. It's just everything. Because if you don't make the matches well, you have these 90%, I call them 90% fights, these 99% fights, almost 100% fights. In other words, the other guy absolutely has no chance. The guy that is the opponent, for the guy that's supposed to win, the other guy has no, the only chance the other guy has is that your guy might get a heart attack. Outside of that, it ain't happening. The win ain't happening. Okay? It just ain't happening. When you have opponents like that, I think that's what takes away from boxing. And people can see that, especially in women's boxing, because of the fact that the talent level or the talent pool, or there aren't that many women per capita boxing professionally, so it's a limited number of contenders per se. But I think some of the quality of women's boxing is sort of dropped off the map in the last couple of years, and I've been on this and time again, so I'm no newcomer to this one, but I think that they ought to take a note from the women that do the MMA thing. I mean, the MMA thing, these chicks know, you know, I've got the whole world looking at me, and they're all saying, can this chick fight? That's what they're saying. Can this chick fight? Or is she just a girl with gloves on? I mean, that's what they want to know, right? Well, guess what? These women boxers, the ones that want to address this as just, you know, having wanted to box and this kind of good stuff. No, you got to deliver. I'm sorry that I have to say this, but you're under the gun more than men are, because men have been in boxing since the beginning of boxing. You guys come along. You were a freak show originally. I mean, you know, back 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there was a few women boxers here and there, but not enough to count. Okay. Now you've got, you know, women's division. From 105 pounds all the way to heavyweight, a heavyweight woman. Well, that's going to be pretty big. But the bottom line is women's boxing has come a long way in the past 25 or 30 years. And I think that the young lady that I had on the show a couple fortnights ago, I'm talking about Christy Martin, the coal miner's daughter. She laid the groundwork for all the women to make money. She just did. She laid the groundwork for them to make money. In fact, if they didn't follow her blueprint, they probably didn't make all that much money, because she was able to work fans. She was able to work the fact that she was woman. She a woman. She could fight, and she came to fight. She came. She was entertaining. In other words, it wasn't a Christy Martin fight. You wouldn't be sitting there snoring, falling asleep watching Christy Martin fight. I mean, that just wasn't the way she performed. She came out there and she did it all. Her and Lucia Riker, that would have been like the Leonard Duran of women's boxing. The Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard matchup, of course, the trilogy they had, a three-fight series. The first fight in 1980, of course, Duran won the 15-round decision. Duran lost the second one when he said no mas. And then like 10 years later, I think in 1990, they did it again. And Roberto was so old, the Just for Men didn't work. I mean, that's how old he was. And he was slow that night, no doubt about that. That was the night that they boxed outdoors. And get this, there was the opening of the Mirage Hotel, December 7th, 1990, I think it was. I think that was the date. And 1990 or 1889. Anyway, it was so cold, frost came out of your nose. I ain't kidding you. It was like 34 degrees, 35 degrees without the lights. You know, the lights under the ring, that was keeping things warm, a little warmer. Yeah, the lights, thank God the lights were there, because it was 35 degrees, 38 degrees in the audience. I kid you not. And people were saying to me, it's cold here. This ain't Las Vegas. Of course, this was Bob Halloran. And what was the guy that was Steve Wynn when they opened up the Mirage Hotel? This is how they opened up the Great Mirage Hotel. Of course, a volcano in front, that kind of good stuff. Volcano's still going. I saw it a couple of weeks ago when I was down there, of course, seeing Bruno Mars. But that was the kickoff of the Mirage Hotel. The Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard fight, the third one, which was the most uninspiring fight you've ever going to see in your life, probably out of both guys, no doubt about that. Ray was like 35 going on 35. Roberto was like 37 going on 35 or 40 going on 90. You know what I mean? He was just so old and so slow, he wasn't even competitive, no doubt about that. But they settled it. I think they settled the score. at least in, you know, as far as the numbers are concerned, Leonard's got two wins over Duran. Duran's got the one win. But that one win over Leonard, June 20th, 1980, Roberto Duran should have been arrested for domestic violence. He beat up on Sugar Ray Leonard so bad in that fight. I mean, I was like, you know, when you turn your face on people watching me here on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, the live video stream, they see what I'm doing. But, when you're in the audience and you turn away from punches because they're so clean, but Duran was landing those right-hand leads, and, of course, that left hook he landed in the second round. I remember what Mike Trainer told me. Mike Trainer was a Washington, D.C. He probably still is. A Washington, D.C. He's still alive. He's a Washington, D.C.-based attorney. And he was Mike Trainer. It was like Trainer. That was his name, Trainer. But he was Ray Leonard's boxing guru. He was the guy that went out there and got Ray Leonard a syndication where Ray didn't owe anybody any money. After a certain amount of time, these people invested money in him, and then he paid the money back, so he owned himself. So he never had people owning a piece of him. That's what Ray used to tell me, Pedro, nobody owns me. Nobody owns me. But Mike Trainer, he was the genius of all. I mean, he just was, man. You got to give Mike all kinds of props. But in that fight with Roberto Duran, this is what he told me. I said, Mike, what were you thinking, man? We're down there in Florida kicking it, I think, in the pool. And as Ray was training for the second Hearns fight in 1989, May of 89, and he says to me, he goes, you know, after Ray got hit with that hook in the second round, he goes, I just lit up a cigarette, because you can smoke then at the fights. It was outdoors in Montreal. He goes, I just lit up a cigarette and hoped to God he wouldn't get hurt, because I knew he wasn't going to win this fight. He goes, so I was already calculating a rematch about the fourth or the fifth round. I said, cool. I said, so how did that rematch come to place? Of course, the No Mas fight. Well, this is what happened. People were telling me that Duran was fat as a pig down there in Panama, dancing, had his belly hanging out, was playing the conga drums and the timbales and all this kind of good stuff, just partying every night, harder than you could ever imagine. I said, yeah. He goes, so I figured, you know, Duran, he was probably in a good position to not be ready to fight in 6 or 8 weeks if we signed him to fight. I said, yeah, okay. Well, tell me what do you mean by that? So anyway, he goes, Duran was 205 pounds, reported 205 pounds. He had to make 147 pounds. So I told him in late September that he was going to, if he fought Ray in November 25th, 1980 to be exact, he would get $8.5 million. Now get this, Roberto Duran had never made more than $1.5 million in his entire life. He would have castrated himself personally. He would have done it himself, I think, to get $8 million. He just would have. I mean, anybody would have. You come from a world of hunger, a world of deprivation, a world where you really haven't got anything, and you're fighting for everything, and they offer you $1.5 million, and you win that fight. Of course, he thought it was a pretty easy fight. That's what I remember saying. A pretty easy fight the first time. Never an easy fight with Sugar Ray Leonard, but he beat Ray the first time. The second time, you know, the $8.5 million, he took the bait, the carrot. He knew he wasn't ready for it, and, you know, Ray knew he wasn't ready for it either. Ray and Mike Trainer, obviously, that's why they pushed the fight as hard as they did. And when Roberto Duran went to Don King a couple weeks before the fight, said, I need a few weeks to 2 weeks more to train. He said, no, man, no mas time for training. So the bottom line is, that is what led to No Mas, of course, with Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Are they training? Are they friends today? They say they are. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC-TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Little pool in the background here. Of course, this is the Tower Power. Ain't nothing stopping us now. Ain't nothing stopping this show now. 37, make that 38 plus years now. I think we've been on 1,986 weeks. Was that it, Cuddy? Was that it last week? 1,985 weeks, something like that. 1,985 weeks of Ring Talk Live Radio. Wow, I can't believe that. But the bottom line is, numbers don't lie. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is we're also on Veev TV and, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Now, I want to mention a couple things before I go to, of course, the top of the hour after that racist and very biased news broadcast we'll hear. We'll go with hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we'll bring in a funny lady. We'll spend some time with a funny lady, Claire Burke. I had her on last week, but I didn't touch on the subject I wanted to touch on. We'll also hear from Mike Tyson and Robin Gibbons at the height of their marriage. Of course, prior to their marriage, the kids get back. The bottom line is we'll hear from Mike Tyson and Robin Gibbons in depth in hour number two. Now, we're talking about Edwin Rosario. Somebody shot me a little text here on the Twitch.tv thing. I think it was Robert Hernandez on Edwin Rosario. Edwin Rosario, without a doubt, when he fought Edwin Villarreal, I believe that was in 1982 on the Duran Benitez undercard, I got to talk to him through his translator. And he was a pretty cool little mellow guy. One of those guys that was so mellow that, you know, like Miguel Cotto, these guys must like be on heroin or Valium or something like that. It was like, they're so mellow, like, eh. I mean, they're not amped at all. They're just not amped at all. Anyway, spent a couple times talking to him through a translator. Nice guy, no doubt about that. But, of course, then he ran into Loretto Garza back in June of 1991. And I know people think I'm going to be bragging and boasting this kind of stuff, but he knocked out Loretto Garza. I could have beat Loretto Garza. That's why Loretto Garza left the Golden Gloves, because I was coming after him. Bottom line is, he turned pro, and he ended up fighting for the WBA title and winning that, I think, against Vinny Pazienza. But he lost to Edwin Rosario. And I think that I could have beat Loretto Garza. This is my personal opinion, no doubt about that. I'd be maybe a little biased on that one, but, you know, that's the way I see it. I mean, I could have beat him. I think I could have beat Juan Koji, without a doubt. Anyway, a couple of guys I could have beat. Speaking of beat, hour number two is undefeated. Check it out, hour number two upcoming on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms, including Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Stay tuned. Hour number two, guaranteed to rock, no doubt about that.